In that last story, you heard about the Buffalo Soldiers. They were some of our country's first park rangers, and they wore their uniform proudly, wide-brimmed ranger hats and navy blue jackets adorned with gold stripes. Just after the Civil War, the U.S. government formed these regiments of black soldiers to patrol and protect national parkland that was claimed after the Indian Wars. And the Buffalo Soldiers' journey started right here in the Bay Area. They gathered in San Francisco's Presidio before heading into the mountains of Yosemite and beyond.
I think the thing that's important to keep in mind is that when I first started telling the story, most people, or many people, had never heard of this contribution. And whenever you tell a story that no one's ever heard before, one of the initial reactions is disbelief. And sometimes people can even feel that it's not true, that it's actually an out-and-out lie.
Shelton Johnson is a ranger at Yosemite National Park. He's part Cherokee, part Black American, and part Seminole. And he's used his background to develop a storytelling project at Yosemite, where he transforms into the role of Sergeant Elise Bowman, a Buffalo soldier from Spartanburg, South Carolina. The project is a way to tell an often hidden history of African Americans in the West. KALW's Leela Day takes us there with this audio postcard. And a quick note to our listeners, this story does contain some racially charged language.
This is Sergeant Bowman. How you doing? Now, I got a question for you. Do you remember the first time you ever saw the stars? Now, I don't know who you are out there and listening to me, I don't know if we ever gonna meet. But for everyone out there, there's always that first time you see the stars. And you feel them as much as you see them in the darkness of the night.
My name is Shelton Johnson, and I work in the Division of Interpretation and Education right here in Yosemite National Park. I would say that my job is to facilitate astonishment.
Nowhere have I seen country like this before. The sort of place that gets into your bones, it gets into your blood, and pretty soon you think there's no place else in the world but Yosemite. Because when you're here, there ain't no other place in the world. It just grabs hold of your eyes.
I grew up right in inner city Detroit in the 60s and 70s. My family didn't visit national parks. There were local city parks and county parks, but national parks were not part of my childhood. So it was something that was really pretty foreign to me culturally.
It grabs hold of your ears, and all you can hear is Yosemite. That's what happens when you're here too long. It's like getting too much whiskey. You just don't see right, and you don't hear right. You don't feel anything but where you are. Guess that means I'm a local now. Guess that means I become part of this country.
This program that I do at the park, it tells people or informs people about the Buffalo Soldier history in Yosemite and Sequoia National Park and the greater history of Buffalo Soldiers who served in the Great Plains during the Indian Wars.
It took me joining the Army, the U.S. Army, becoming a cavalryman that led me on a path that took me to place, to an experience I didn't think I'd ever have. I didn't even know it was there.
When people ask me, well, who are the Buffalo Soldiers? My response is that the Buffalo Soldiers were African-American cavalry and infantry troops that were formed in 1866, and they served during the Indian Wars, which is how they came by the name Buffalo Soldiers. They were given that name by their Plains Indian antagonists, primarily because the texture of their hair resembled the matted cushion between the horns of the buffalo.
There are these Indians that we were after, and I gotta admit, they were after us as well. And some of them got a few of us, and a few of us got some of them. That's how it works in war. And you're always kind of uneasy when you know there are people out there that you can't see, that you don't know, that are trying to kill you.
If it's the Indian Wars, then you're following orders. And of course, if you don't follow orders in the military, that's insubordination. That could lead to court-martial.
growing up in South Carolina, growing up in Spartanburg, I got a lot of names that were called me. I've been called nigger. I've been called worse than nigger. But to think that someone gave me and my men, my troop, my regiment, a name that was based on something sacred to them, dear to those people, to that culture. I just can't wrap my mind around that I have received a compliment from the people we are trying to kill, to remove, to exclude, to annihilate. That's a word Lieutenant taught me. Annihilate me, ain't nothing left.
Think of the irony of that, that someone would seek out a service in the infantry or the cavalry of the United States as safe harbor. It was safer for them to be a corporal or a private than to be a sharecropper in Louisiana. It was a new idea having a national park. They would cut trees down for firewood. They would shoot the deer to feed their families. And now here were these men telling them that cutting trees down, well, that meant that you were a timber thief. Shooting the deer, that meant you were a poacher. So how do you approach someone and very kindly tell them, excuse me, sir, but you're a poacher. You're a timber thief. That's a terrible way to begin a conversation with someone, especially if you're African-American and they're European-American. So they had to be able to tell people that what they were doing was wrong, but do it in a voice, in a manner that would not give offense, because they knew from where they grew up that giving the slightest offense in where they came from could cost them their lives and or the lives of their families. So it was a very, very delicate proposition for them to do what they were doing.
And I said, hold up, sir. Don't move. And he got still, like he had turned to stone. And I said, now you can drop what you got in your hands, because I can't see them. Raise your hands up slowly over your head and turn slowly. That's what I said.
I first became a National Park Ranger in 1987 in Yellowstone National Park. I just kind of fell in love with the mission, the whole idea of protecting one of the most celebrated places on the planet. It just appealed to me. I think there's a perception within our culture that African Americans have had very little to do with national parks or with wilderness, primarily because of popular culture. And even within African American culture, again, those memories seem to have been lost, and African Americans, up to a certain point, didn't talk about African American soldiers serving in national parks. So it was forgotten outside the culture, and it was forgotten within the culture, because we've all grown up with Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. We've grown up with Westerns where African Americans appear little. They're not there. They're just not there at all.
You're a fool, Boone. Those are slaves, not people. They don't feel about things the way you would.
With African Americans, it's history. It's almost everything is rooted in the past. Everything is rooted in history. And I always put it that if you really want to understand today, you have to look at yesterday. So in order for us to really think about why African Americans look at nature and look at mountains in a certain way, we have to look at the African American past in the United States. And that's where the answer, that's where you can find the answer.
There are places in this world that are so beautiful that they grab hold of you, and there's a bit of you, there's a piece of who you are, of your soul, that gets taken away, that gets taken. And the earth don't give it back. It just holds on to it.